Welcome to the Killer Frogs. This is episode 113 for October 17th of 2018. We had a little bit of an internet problem here in DFW yesterday. Normally these things come out on Tuesday. You're getting them on Wednesday because, well, AT&T had a fire and everybody's internet went down. So we couldn't record last night. So we apologize. But joining us on this week's podcast, we have Ryan, Wes, and Shannon. And I'm Sean. And for today's topics, we've got Tech Comes to Town, Where Did All the Touchdowns Go, Hey, We're Tied for Second Place in Turnovers, Land Thieves Come to Town Next, and Why Is Coach Patterson Getting Death Threats? And we'll start there with Ryan. Ryan, Patterson kind of mentioned this at his press conference. This was kind of an interesting little tidbit, a kind of throwaway line at a press conference. He's getting death threats?
You know, it. Yes, apparently not this year. So he gave the press a little bit of a boost today because, of course, if you tag any headline with that, people are going to click. So we appreciate that, Coach Patterson. But yes, in the past, what started this was talking about passionate fans, right? And so we all remember the days where you didn't even wear purple ever. You probably didn't even have any purple hanging in your closet. And it's quite the opposite these days. And so we all know we're 3-3. That's disappointing. And Patterson understands that the fans are disappointed. He understands even in moments when they say stuff that they might regret the next morning. What he doesn't mind in what he said is that he loves passion. He wants passionate coaches, passionate players, and passionate fans. And sometimes that means saying something that you might regret the next day. What he doesn't like are the bandwagon fans that only come around when we're winning, and then they're the first to criticize when we start losing. So he said that, and then he told the story of how I even get death threats sometimes. And of course that was shocking to hear because I can't even imagine what that must feel like. But he said usually it's due to a lot of heavy drinking after a loss or losing a lot of money when he bet on the Horned Frogs to win. And, you know, Patterson at the very end of the game decides not to kick that field goal that would have put you over the all been there, not betting, but we've all been there. We're like, why? Just kick the field goal. So to cover the spread. But anyway, he said, you know, 8 out of 10, he always responds back to these people. It's usually on Twitter.
That's got to take an unbelievable amount of just self-control, because I couldn't imagine A, getting a death threat, and then B, turning around and just, oh, sure, I'll just go ahead and answer these all the time.
I know, right? I guess it takes, he's been around for a while, right? I mean, I'm sure in his early years, he probably would have been like, luckily we didn't have Twitter in our early years. He might have responded back maybe very Trump-like, and that wouldn't have been good. But he has a little bit more couth and some self-restraint and discipline that I think he gets it. He's passionate. That's probably why he gets it. So he responds every time. And he said, honestly, 8 out of 10 times when he does respond the next day, he will get a text or a tweet back saying, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm just frustrated. So he handles it the right way. So, yeah, that's the story behind the death threat. You can imagine. That's crazy.
I can't imagine a TCU fan especially getting so worked up over football game that they're threatening the life of any coach, and that's just crazy.
It is.
And shame on our fans if they're doing that. Shame on them. They don't know what bad is. I mean, and you guys probably don't either. I lived through this team during the 60s and 70s, and I saw horrible taken to a whole new level. And so, you know, what we got now is nothing. We got nothing to worry about. 3-3, so what? You know,
I don't know. Ryan and Shannon and I can remember a pretty bad season.
Yeah,
there.
I was like, well, we won one game my senior year, so I.
But it was against SMU, so I guess, you know, hey.
Yeah.
And yeah, and before that, you know, that year, I guess after that year got better, but before that, it was what, 34 years? I mean, there hadn't been any winning. So, you know, that's why, you know, my era, our era, we kind of got the. We know the history, and we felt a little bit of it, and then being on the side of it to where I had actually a hand with the team that my senior group changing this thing around after the bowl game beating USC. You know, it's history. But here's the deal with all the winning, we've been talking about this, I'm sure everybody has. We have to understand there's going to be some runs, and we're going to be good year in and year out, but there's always going to be a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
I think we've only missed a bowl game since Gary's been in office, we should say. We've only missed 1 year.
I think 2 years, 2006, 2013.
Several years ago, and it's been was it two?
I think it's two.
It is two, and every time after a losing season like that, we come back and dominate. So
yeah, 2013 was the last time, and then we saw what happened in 2014.
So it's been so long that I thought it was one, but still, Ryan, great point. It's like, guys, we have to have those years to continue to be great. Unless you're Alabama, and that's the only institution that I know that makes those runs where they're basically in the national. If they don't make the national title game, then that's a bust for them. You know, that's a whole different ball game, let alone. Sure. So, listen, fans, real fans, I think we understand, you know, like I said 2 weeks ago, this may be that year, and, you know, we might as well start seeing what this is. This may be just a rebuilding year for us. We need to regroup, get young people better. We're dealing with injury. We're dealing with a lot of stuff right now. But, listen, the future's still bright. We still have a lot of football left. And hopefully right now, I think we're just playing to make a bowl game. Let's make that. That should be the number one goal right now. Win one more game that gets us a game closer to getting to a bowl. And then you extend the season, which allows you to get better. And then you bring in recruits and let's just regroup next year. That's just the type of year we're having. But there's no need for death threats and cussing and fussing. And I get we're frustrated. Trust me. I get it. We have some things to correct. There's some things like the turnover thing just killing me. I just think if we could just stop that shit, I'm good. If we can just stop the turnovers, I can deal with missed tackles. I can deal with everything else. But we keep shooting ourselves in the foot. I think we had 6 turnovers this last time, and we got 2 back maybe, or something like that. But that's what's killing me. So,
yeah.
I don't want to kill nobody else, but sometimes I'm going to jump off that balcony.
I know, right?
How about me? I'll take the plunge for the team.
Speaking of that, I shouldn't these days, you know, it's hard to joke about anything, but we were sitting the last row at the UT game, the very last row. And I admit, I did finally take a picture of looking over the last row, and I was just like,
oh my God.
Would never do it. But the thought did cross my mind. It's like, terrible, because it's just like, oh God.
Right. But, you know, we there will be brighter days.
There will be. Yeah, I think the hard part, you know, losing sucks, no doubt about it, especially with this season when you know you should have won. You kicked yourselves, as you said, in the butt. Yeah. And the other part that gets me is it's, you know, you're dealing with kids mentally when you're recruiting, and they don't think thoroughly. They just, it's all surface. And I know we lose recruits, obviously, because of this. And it, they can't think, oh, it's just one bad year. You know, Texas is having a good year. I think we've already lost a recruit to Texas in the last couple weeks. And that's frustrating to me, because it really does hurt the recruiting. And that's,
that's part of it. Yep.
Well, if you go back and look at, you know, 2013 is probably the best parallel between what's happening right now, because we opened up with a big game in Texas Stadium at Jerry World, right, against LSU. We had high hopes for the defense. He had Devontae Fields, right, and everyone had high hopes with him, and he turned out to be a bit of a bust, and we had injuries coming out of that game. We lost a close one. The team never seemed to recover after that particular game. And we all said the same thing after the LSU game. Even Wes, while we were waiting to get our car out of the impound lot, we're sitting around talking about how, you know what, if we just didn't make as many mistakes, we could have actually won that one. It was almost identical as far as what we were talking about with Ohio State. And we went on, and we had some losses that kind of made us feel like if we could just play 4 straight quarters of football, this could be a good team. And it was frustrating. You go back and watch some of the videos we have with Scott and Wes in that time. I mean, it was the same every single week. It was like, darn it, we just can't play 4 quarters of football. But then you see exactly what happened the next week. And I think it was because Patterson spent, I think he finally realized about halfway through that season exactly what that season was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Spent time, like what you were saying, Shannon. It's like, look, you know, it's time to grow some of these guys up. Let's rotate as much as possible. And we all saw what happened in 2014. That 2014 team was probably the best in the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think real coaching steps, it has to step in. I mean, it's easy to chop up the season and say it's a bust, it's a loss. But now it's like, okay, now the goal, we're not going to hit the next level on the pyramid, right? So now what do I need to do to get this team ready for next year? How do I salvage what I have? How do I get recruits to still come? How do I get people not to want to leave because it's not the year they're supposed to be having? And blah, it's all that stuff takes an effect. And so for us, I feel like we've done a great job. Coach Patterson and his coaches have done a great job of, you know, kind of keeping everything together, you know. And so at some point, you know, I just feel if we lose two more games, then, okay, here it is. Now we'll see Gary start doing some things that we may not necessarily like. But if you can see where his head is, he's getting ready for next year. He's getting ready to go ahead and grow these kids up now so we don't repeat this type of season again. And people are not going to like that. But you don't want – I'm like, hey, what you're feeling now, if he doesn't do this, you'll feel this stuff again next year. And you don't want to do that. So,
well, you can't lose the locker room over a season like this.
Right. You cannot lose the locker room. And I think he's going to do what he does best, and that's coach, and get this team – prepared for success at some point in their life, be it the senior, you know, because he's got a senior class, he's got to deal with a junior class, and he's got to make it right. He cares about those kids, so he's got to make it right for that group that's getting ready to leave. I mean, he does. So,
yeah, he sure does. And I want to add at the press conference today, and please go to frogswire.com and read all the notes from the press conference, because we bullet pointed it out. It's really a quick read and it's really good. But one thing he did talk about, which, again, this is with a veteran coach that actually has been around and gets it. He, you know, he said, these are not – our players are not pawns on a chessboard, right?
Right.
We get that. We, you know, we're just out there looking at them. We forget that loss, they may not show it on the field the way we would or the way we want them to, but that it hurts them. It's embarrassing to walk around campus. It's, you know, whatever. You know, they feel it. They're more disappointed than we are. And he said,
I think a lot of fans would like to see that, though, in some of the faces of some of the players, especially. Yeah, and there's a lot of comments, and I don't disagree with what you're saying, Ryan. I'm taking a devil advocate point of view here. I
agree, because I've seen it too, and I'm kind of like, what the heck? What does that mean? Yeah. You know,
when you see Robinson throw an interception, he comes off the field and he's smiling. It's like,
it rubs some people the wrong way.
And I get it. I mean, the guy's a player. He understands.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, There are some fans I got to realize, like, the way that you would react in a situation like that, or the way that you would expect somebody to react, is not necessarily the same way that these kids are going to react. And you don't want them, some of those kids, you don't want them to react that way, because it just starts going downhill.
And we've seen some of that on the sideline this year and last year, where it gets kind of heated. So people deal with setbacks in their own way. But, you know, the key is, you know, as Gary said, it's a fine line. And anybody who's coached knows this. It's a fine line. And do you sit the kid out to watch the game to learn? Do you keep him in hoping that he will work through it? Where's the point where you make a change? Because if you don't get it right, you're going to set the kid back even more. And so I think that's kind of what they're dealing with. And he said, you know, these kids, you got to treat them like you would your kids. You know, if they mess up, do you just scream at them and yell at them and throw the book at them?
Depends on the kid.
I know.
Yeah.
It depends what era you grew up in too, but it does depend on the kid. And a lot of times you just need to sit down and talk with them and explain it, and then it's a process, and every kid is different. Every kid you have to coach differently.
Well, sometimes I think we need to put ourselves in Gary's shoes. I think we should have a segment on here. It's called Put Yourself in Gary's Shoes. And what I mean by that is, think about it. With these kids today, they could, like, we just happened with the guy who left went to Texas. Now, it's hard enough to recruit kids as it is. You start having to deal with egos and sitting people and benching them and them not understanding what you're trying to do for them. And now you're at risk of losing that kid. And, you know, again, these are the things a head coach has to think about. Now, you have to still be you and coach. But then again, if we start losing recruits, now start thinking about what the fans are going to start talking about with Gary or saying about Gary. He's going to be this. He's going to be that. They're going to cuss him and this. But it's like, hey, it's almost like a lose-lose situation. But he has to do what's best for his team, but also he has to know his athletes and do what's best for that athlete. You discipline kids different. I have four different kids. I discipline them different because I get a different reaction out of them than the other one. You know, so one of my kids, I asked her, give me your phone or take 10 licks. She's like, give me 10 licks. I'm just like, what? And I'm like, I'm going to swing this bat extra hard this time. Give me 10 licks. Well, she's not buying it. You know, so you just have to, you have to discipline them.
Metaphorically speaking.
Now, right. let me ask you this. John, you references the 2013 season as being one of the bad ones. And that after that season, we replaced offensive coordinators. Now, I know Coach Covey's taking a lot of heat on the forum. Do you, any of you guys think that our assistant coaches might be in a little trouble out there? Or is
that's a fantastic segue into the next topic, which is where the heck have all the touchdowns go?
Well, yes. And Coach Patterson addressed that today a little bit as well. He said, you know, you'll have players that, or I'm sorry, coaches who make it to a BCS bowl game, right? And then 2 years later, we're having a season like this. It's not always, you know, they all of a sudden they're the best coach in the world, and then two seasons later, they're the worst. They need to be fired. He said that's really not. That's what we see from the outside. It's not necessarily what's going on, the reason why on the inside.
Well, but let's take a look at this a little bit, because Wes brings up a good point. You have Fuente, the offensive coordinator for the Rose Bowl season, correct?
Right.
He ends up leaving for Memphis. Great hire by Memphis. Eventually lands to Virginia Tech. I think could possibly be the next head coach of the Frogs when Patterson actually leaves. But...
possibly.
Fuente, I think everybody would agree, was probably one of the best offensive coordinators we had seen until we got to Meacham and Cumbie. Right. Between that, we had, what, Jarrett Anderson and then the Jarrett Anderson, you know, experiment. I forgot exactly who, you know, we had those guys. And, of course, everybody loves Schultz as an offensive coordinator.
Schultz!
But if we go back, and we take a look at all the years that we've had some issues and we've had major bumps in the road, it was because the offense couldn't put points on the board in every single instance. If you go back to the 2013 season, that year, I believe we almost beat Oklahoma in Oklahoma that year, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm.
Can I review that?
Because of the defense.
I've got it right in front of me. So to put it in perspective, that game, we lost to LSU by 10. And that we know it was closer. It was a closer game than the
score.
Yeah,
it was closer than 10, yeah.
It really was. And then, of course, we beat Southern Louisiana. We beat Tech by Tech beat us by 10. We were ranked 24 at the time. SMU, we beat Oklahoma. Yeah, we lost to number 11 Oklahoma by three lousy points.
Yeah, that was on that busted run at the end of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Lee. And then, of course, we beat Kansas, I think. And then at Oklahoma State, they beat us, but they had our number there for a while. Texas, they beat us. Was that downpour? I think
that was the lightning game.
And then West Virginia, they beat us by 3 points. So there's two losses with a total of 6 points, right?
Did we beat Iowa State that year?
No, we lost by – oh, yes, we beat them by 3 points.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
how many points did we beat Iowa State this year?
Was it three?
Three points.
Yeah.
But then get this one. So K-State, we lost by 2 points. So that's three. Yeah. Three games right there. Baylor, we lost by 3 points, and they were like number 9 at the time. So we have four games that were decided by three or less
and
points.
And in that season, it was the defense, time and time again, that kept us in the game. And it wasn't until the offense, they didn't turn over the ball nearly as much as we've been turning it over. But they kept going three and out. So they couldn't put points on the board. They couldn't sustain drives. You put the defense right back on the field. You put them in a situation where they start wearing out, and that's when the big plays happen. If you remember in 2013, we were saying the defense is great if they just stop giving up the big plays. But they gave up the big plays because they kept getting stretched thin.
Right.
The offense couldn't do anything that season, because I think that was the season we had Jarrett Anderson as the co-offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And so my point is this: the parallels between these seasons that we have, kind of down seasons. I think 2006 is another one you can kind of go back and take a look at. It all goes back. It's not the defense. The defense is not the issue. The defense may have issues, but it's not the reason why we're losing games. In fact, it's the only reason why we're not getting majorly blown out of games. Right.
Right.
It's the offense. The offense can't put points on the board. Now, I don't think there's anybody on the outside looking in right now, looking at TCU and saying they don't have offensive weapons. They can't. They just don't have an offensive team. I think we can make a case that we could be better in certain positions. The offensive line certainly comes to mind. But what is it? What is the common thread between these things that's making this offense just not click? And the only thing I keep coming back to Wes's point, offensive coordinator.
And youth. I think youth is part of it. Yeah.
Well, that, and nobody's wrong. I also think, just looking at it, I think it all goes back to the turnovers. And here's why I say that. You cannot get in a rhythm to score points.
Right.
Offense has a rhythm about itself. You got to get in there and make drives, even if it's a field goal. And then field goals will get you in rhythm. And, you know, even if it's a tough game, you start scoring field goal, and all of a sudden you're going to pop one. But when you're driving, pick to the house, it just throws the rhythm off. And at some point, it just fumbles, and it disrupts the flow of scoring. And so for me, that's – and then on top of the, you know, the play call and stuff like that, you know, I guess we can pick that apart all day long. But, you know, we got two stud running backs, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? If we can't throw the ball or do what we need to do, run it. Pound it down their throats because we have two decent backs.
Then you have Shewo and Anderson who both fumbled the ball last time.
And, you know, I would rather take my chances, you know, trying to establish the run game, because usually when we throw on the outside, it's going to the house. I'd rather take a fumble by running back and not necessarily, you know, it's in traffic. So your chances of a score out of that situation is not high. But listen, it's just one of those deals where I just feel like, you know, between the play calling and all the doggone turnovers, it's hard to get in the flow to get anything accomplished as far as the scoreboard.
I agree. Yeah. Turnovers are a huge problem. And I can hear fans right now yelling at me going, hey, the offensive coordinator is not responsible for throwing picks and fumbling the ball. I get that. However, we all know, and has already been documented, Patterson has either A, no interest or no input whatsoever when it comes to the offense. So the only one who's running those offensive drills and is disciplining players for not keeping the ball and not controlling the ball and not teaching them to switch the arm or wrap up when they get hit has to lie on the offensive coaching staff. And that lies just right there at the feet of Cumbie. And if he's not doing his job, you know, we can't possibly win games if the offense can't put up points. But not only that, to Shannon's point, we can't possibly win games when we're, you know, tied for second worst in the nation when it comes to turnovers.
Well, this is what I will say.
By the way, thanks for Tulsa for actually being number one in turnovers by one.
Mm. Wow.
I remember back when we were playing and Haystoke fumbled the ball, and Coach Franchione made him take the ball to class, made him take it ever. He said, if anybody brings this ball back to me, I'm going to run the snot out of you. And he was dead serious.
I love it.
The running backs had to do it. And here's the
deal. Didn't everybody try to, like, get the ball away from him?
Yeah. We tried to. You know why? Because it's going to make us better. It's going to make him better.
Yeah, Robinson didn't do that.
He didn't fumble anymore. So it's just like, I wonder if any of those type of things are being done. Like, I wonder, is like, you know what? Okay, let's put it on the whole team. You know, we're going to run, or we're going to do stadium. We're going to do something to correct this issue, because we got to take some accountability, which puts it on everybody. Because at this point, you know, we got to fix this issue. I mean, my goodness, the turnovers, that number being tied for first with Tulsa?
Tied for second, if we're going to go that way. Yeah, we're tied for 129 out of 130.
You know,
I guess 128, I guess, is how you do it with ties.
I love tactics like that. I think they work. They create awareness, and
you're talking about the carry the ball around campus.
Yes, it's kinesthetic learning. It's you're living it, and I love it. Makes me want. I mean, I guess we don't see a whole lot of that anymore with like going to the corner. Go stand in the corner for an hour. You know, I guess because just the day we live in, it's not.
Do you think if he made Robinson walk around campus with a football, he'd be considered hazy?
Probably.
In today's day, you're right.
In today's world, is that hazing? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, it's humiliating, which is, you know, you're not supposed to humiliate kids, but God, you know, fine.
If I was coach, I'd do that. I'd go straight out. I'd go to the freaking skiff and put out an ad in the skiff. If you see Robinson on campus and he's holding the football, try to take it from him. If you bring it back to me, I give you $100.
I know. Somebody gets sued.
I know.
But I wish we go back to some of that. you know, I mean, I definitely don't want chairs being thrown at kids like, you know, happened at Tech, but there is a happy, happy medium with stuff like that. So anyway,
yeah. Speaking of that Tech game, that was something else. That went from being a bad game to an embarrassing game pretty quickly.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Yeah. So hopefully they can figure out something, because this offense, and we've said it. I mean, they have faced. I mean, take a look at what Iowa State did. I mean, I totally stand behind what I've said the last couple of weeks. Iowa State, Texas, are probably and us are the three best defenses in the Big 12. Tech is by far the worst defense. And every single time, it's not that the team rises to the level of competition. The offense seems to just play to the level of the defense. And then stutters, turnovers, and then falls flat on its face. So I don't know what it is that they've got to do on the offensive side of the ball, but they're going to have to turn this around, or the defense is going to start really getting pissed off in that locker room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shannon, as a former defensive player, do you guys rail on the offense a little bit if they start fumbling around and not moving the ball and getting you guys back on the field a little too quick before your legs are back? I mean, does any of that ever happen in the locker room?
Well, see, in my time, you could say, you know, yeah, no, we would, you know, we had such a great defense. You know, our senior, we're number one defense in the country. I mean, it's one of those deals. We knew we were the leaders. To us,
you guys wanted to be on the field.
Yeah, no matter what the offense did, we want to be on the field. Plus, we had LT and a lot, like we had LT, so we knew at some point they were going to get it going. You know, it just at some point. But you know, in the struggle years and the years getting up, that we were getting better, and we, you know, it was such a different locker room. Sinkfield to this day, Mike, I'll say Shannon, different guys, different locker room. So you guys, as chemistry, you're it was just different. And so I just think we were on the way to do something great. You know, and so based off what we did, you see the results of it today. But, you know, we just felt like for defense, we want to be on the field, because you know what? We're number one in the country for a reason. And we were taking picks to the house. We were scoring. We would do it. That's my thought process. It's like, okay, if the offense don't want to score, we going to score. You know, so I just think if they had that mentality, which, you know, listen, I don't know. But for us, it's like if this were to happen, it's like, all right, guys, put it on our back. We're going to win this game for us, you know. Yeah. But I just don't see that right now. I don't see, you know, I don't see a complete – you can tell when you have a team playing on the same level and the chemistry's there. It's just not there yet. And that just comes with growing up a little bit.
Now, Shannon, are you seeing this defense start to kind of get that chip on its shoulder?
Here's the deal I have with the defense. Defense is – they're going to always be a great defensive comparison, but I still think we're missing too many tackles. Guys,
yeah, I agree.
I see hits behind the line of scrimmage that I don't care if they gain a yard after the hit. It's still a gain yard. It's still now it's second and nine versus when we had them stop for two. That makes a difference in the play calling. That makes a big difference on what the offensive coordinator is going to do, you know, be it that it's second and 13 versus second and eight, because we hit him in the backfield and he bounced off and went and got 3-4 yards that he shouldn't have got. I'm still seeing too much of that. I think if we get on the defensive side, if we're going to do any kind of criticism on that side of the ball, we miss too many tackles. And I don't think we've gotten better. Even after the bye week, we saw way too much. And I think, you know, not to pick on him, but even because I'm a Ty Summers fan, he's missed a lot of tackles, which he's a tackling machine. His numbers could be crazy if he were to make those initial tackles. And he's the one that sticks out in my mind, because he's the one that I see kind of getting slipped off of a lot right now. So, anyway, we've got to stop turning the ball, and we've got to make better tackles on defense. We've got to secure the tackles, as we say, on defense.
Yeah, it seems like they've had trouble wrapping up a lot this year, and you're right, they have missed a lot of tackles and had guys just bounce off of them, and that's frustrating because that's not TCU defense.
No, it's not.
They got better. I saw them improve. I would say during the Iowa State game. But then after the bye week, it was like they took two steps back. It was right back to where it was in Texas.
Yep.
And I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was the scheme. Just the bye week just got to them. I don't know what it was, but you're right. I mean, the tackling has been poor. The fact that they haven't been able to generate turnovers has been a major issue, and that's been a problem for the last 3 or 4 seasons. Probably the last 3 seasons has been an issue with this defense. They have just not generated turnovers.
I mean, we got 2 turnovers, last Thursday, and the time we got them both, were we penalized or something happened on both of them?
Yeah, with that interception that was called back.
You know, so it's like we can't get out of our, we're still not getting out of our own way right now. You know, it's like, my goodness, we have an opportunity to, you know, give the offense another opportunity and we blow it, you know, twice. So, you know, it's frustrating. You know, the scoring, it'd be helpful if the offense could at least score to help the, you know, to help the defense out a little bit. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Our defense is like cheetahs. We're not built to be out there all day. We're built to get out there, be fast, get our prey, get them out three and out, and give the offense a chance. And the offense has got to respect that by giving these guys a breather. So by the time they hit the field again, they could be at their top speed. You know, so it's just what it is.
Yeah, well, if the offense can't get things going this weekend, that's going to start to become a major issue pretty quick, because on Saturday, 11 o'clock, OU comes to town, and this is a game that, again, kind of going into it, I kind of feel like, and we'll get to score predictions later, I still feel like the defense can keep us in this game, but the offense is the big question mark. We've seen the OU defense is rather suspect all season long. We've seen a lot of things that the OU defense has given up, but can this TCU offense finally find a week and capitalize on those mistakes?
This is what I'll say about this week to me personally, looking at where we stand as a football team. I feel this is my, it may lead into my prediction, but this is how I feel in my gut. I feel that we can win this game. I feel like, even given everything we just talked about, I feel that Oklahoma's defense, they have some disagreeing and some things going on in their locker room too. We don't know what's going to happen with this new coach and if they're gelling. And I've heard, you know, I heard that
about defensive coach, because Mike Stoops was fired, right?
Yeah, Mike Stoops was fired. And I heard those guys literally walked out of the locker room, one of the linebackers out in the fair to, I don't want to play for two. I heard several people say that. And so they have some things going on in their locker room as well. But if we can just pull it together to knock these guys off, I think it could turn our season to where we could at least enjoy the rest of the season. Mm. But let me say this. On the other side of that coin, I believe if Oklahoma comes in here and gives us a good old whooping, we're gonna go the other way, and I think it's gonna be bad. I think it's going to be some bickering. I think it's gonna be some lashing out, and I think our season's gonna go the other way really quick. That's just my gut feeling.
So this is like a fork in the road game for you.
For me, that's how I feel. I just feel at home. We've had to deal with so much. I'm hoping the guys rally around Coach Patterson, being that he lost his mother, and a lot of the stuff that they should rally around people, the loss, the turnovers, to Sean, being that he's in the dumps because he knows he's turned over the ball. I just hope we can come together and gel as a team and play for something. Not just a win, but play for something and somebody, your teammates, your coach, and let's go to war and win this ball game so it'll mean something. But if we don't see that, I'm talking downhill, and it's going to be ugly. That's just why I feel in my spirit. I feel that this is one of those games we have to win. We need to win.
And to that point, Ryan, how important is it going to be for the fans to get there early and yell and support this team in this game?
Well, it's important. Unfortunately, the game is at 11 o'clock on Saturday, and until about 4 hours ago, it was predicted to be a rainy day. So we're going to be dealing with that. It is homecoming, so that's the plus part. But we all know that we're a small fan base, small school, and a lot of us, a lot of the fans have kids playing sports on Saturday at 11, unfortunately. So if you come to the game, you're going to have to be extra loud. You know, we may not be able to fill every seat, but be passionate while you're there. Otherwise, so.
Yeah, now, see, yeah. I just checked the weather, and according to this, it's going to be a high of 70.
Good.
A low of 50, so it should be around 60 degrees for kickoff time. And no rain in the forecast for Saturday. We get the rain on Friday, but not on Saturday.
It definitely changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. As of, I looked at it this morning before the press conference and I was like, crap. And then after the press conference, they had taken the rain out of the forecast. So that is, hopefully that'll get more people out there. But it, personally, it's my 20th class reunion. So I do know a lot of my friends are coming in town for the game. So I think
congrats.
Thanks. I hate 11 o'clock games. Gary likes them because he has a little bit more time to prepare for the next game. But
hey, Bloody Marys in football, right?
And mimosas, beer mimosas.
That's right. Yes.
Beer mimosas.
Not for the players, clearly, just for the fans.
Depends on how the first half goes. Hey,
exactly.
Hey, Wes, talk to us a little bit about this OU offense. We got Kyler Murray as quarterback here for OU, what do you think of this OU offense? How much of a threat do you think this is going to be for our defense?
Well, I mean, it's like any of these not run and shoot, but air raid offenses, and that's kind of what they run. Kyler Murray's a great athlete, and he has done nothing but spectacular things. But he, you know, we can handle him. We've handled guys like that in the past, and we can handle him.
He's no Baker Mayfield, right?
Well, yeah, Baker Mayfield.
The breaker of chains, the liberator of beers.
Liberator
of libations, I should say, yes.
Yeah, we're going to have to be a better pro quarterback than I thought he would be. But anyway, Kyler's pretty darn good.
It's the Browns. Give him a couple of weeks.
Yeah, give him a couple. We got to get pressure on him, though, no matter what. And our defensive backs have got to cover. They've got good receivers. They've got a good offensive line. You know, they've got all the things there. But as Texas proved, they can be beaten. And I don't think they're through losing games this season. So I think it's a good chance for us to get in there and prove ourselves and for our players to prove to themselves that we can knock somebody off that we shouldn't have been.
Bring up that Texas game. You got to think that the way the TCU fans are thinking right now of losing to Texas and Tech would be the same way OU fans are currently looking at their season if they lose to Texas and TCU.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. They still kind of look at us as little sisters of the poor. So, and I don't care that we're equals in the conference, but, you know, there's always that perception out there that's just little old TCU. And because I know my cousin's one of their fans. And
well, we haven't really dominated them. The both Oklahoma schools we've had problems with since we've been in the Big 12.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they've had good season. We've beaten both of them since we've been in the Big 12. But, you know, it's time for us to beat the OU again, and I think we can handle Oklahoma State.
Me too.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, with that, let's go ahead and talk score predictions in this game.
Oh, boy.
And I know this one's going to be difficult, specifically because the last couple of weeks we've been all over the place. And I think I was the only one who called a close game against Tech, but I really wish it had gone a different way. So, Brian, let's start with you. What's your score prediction? TCU, OU, 11 o'clock on Saturday.
Oh, Sean.
Are you feeling it right now? Are you getting nervous already?
I know I am not. In fact, I was just gonna maybe turn a total 180 and maybe be so wrong that we win. You know, we win, and it. You know what I'm trying to say. I do think.
Are you gonna pick OU to win?
We've been really consistent with winning, leading at halftime. So I think we'll stick with that. Oh God. I think it's gonna be a low scoring game. all right. I'm going to pick us to win. I'm not feeling it, but, and I'm with you, but we have to win it. It's one of those wings. It's going to go one way or the other way. And it's going to be big one way or the other. I don't think the score will be that close, but I'm going to go ahead and say it's a 17 to 14. TCU.
All right. All right. Another Iowa State game. Shannon, what do you think?
I got 21-17. I got our defense scoring seven of that. And so I believe we can muster up two touchdowns on offense. I do believe we can contain Mr. Murray. I just think he's containable. If you do it the right way, I think we'll play to kind of eliminate his feet, make him throw the ball. Just eliminate the running, make him throw the ball. And I think our defense can be good enough to stand up against the receivers. I think we'll be in a situation where we have opportunities to make some picks, to be around the football. I think it's going to be a close one. I think defense will rise up. So I'm going 21-17 TCU. We win the game.
So Ryan picks a 3-point victory. Shannon's at 4 points. Wes, you want to go 5?
Well, I was going to say I was going to say exact the same score Shannon was, but I'll go 5. Sure, 22-17. But I think why not? I think we got to get we got to make Murray throw the ball, and the way to do that is going to have to put pressure on him, and it's going to have to come up the middle. And if he's going to run, make him go around to the ends.
Yep.
Give Ben Banigou and some of those guys a chance to handle him. And Garrett Waller, because Waller's pretty darn fast. You know, yeah. I think our speed on defense will really play havoc with them. And I think the OU defense, as Shannon was saying, some of their players are pretty loyal to Mike Stoops. And then you say, Shannon, they don't really want to play with this new guy.
That could be the case. You know, just that, never.
Yeah, that could be the case. I mean, you lose your coordinator in midseason, and you kind of get used to the guy, even though I think he's been their weak link for a couple of years. But, you know, I think this could be a perfect setup for us if we can just get our offense going and score some points on that defense. That's the key.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit different route because I was feeling 24-17 a bit before I really started to buckle down and really started to look into this. I'm going to go 35-17, TCU. Ooh.
And look at you.
I'm going to say this is the first game with no turnovers.
Woo!
None.
Well, hang on.
I know, Shannon. You're just dying right now.
Knock on some wood on that one.
I know. I'm going to say that's the reason why.
There you go. I'm with you. I love it.
All right. Otherwise, if it's turnovers, it's going to be that really close Iowa State kind of game. But I think this is going to be a game where we don't have any turnovers. I think that defense is going to be the linchpin. I agree with you, Wes. I think we're going to come out. I think we're going to hit them square in the jaw, and I think that defense is just going to be in disarray for the rest of the game. And I think that will play right into our hands, or at least will give this offense enough confidence to be able to finally finish off an opponent.
Yeah.
But the defense is going to keep us in it no matter what. So as long as the offense can get going, and this defense has some issues, as long as the offense can get going, I think you're right. This is the perfect storm. The offense can come out, get going. I think it's going to be a TCU game. It's going to be kind of like that Dallas Cowboy game this weekend.
Yeah. It's
Jacksonville. You know, that's what I'm feeling.
It's time for us to play a complete game, and it might as well be against OU.
Yeah, and we're at home. It's homecoming. We're going to have a crowd there. It's going to be a beautiful day for Frog football. And I'm writing down right now 35-17 Frogs.
Perfect.
There we go.
Love it.
Well, and on that bombshell, I think we have come to the end of the podcast. Am I missing anything, or did we cover everything for the night?
Yeah. Hey, I don't know, but, you know, Gary, I know a lot of people tweeting, but, you know, our condolences to Gary and losing his mother. That had to have been rough after losing the game and then having to go to your mom's funeral the next day or whatever the case may be. So I thought about that. And you know,
she passed away right after the Iowa State game, correct?
Was it that the game?
I think it was the week after Iowa State that she passed away.
So yeah. I thought, okay.
And then he just lost his father as well.
So it has been rough on him. So anyway, I want to say that, and I don't know, we're thinking about him. And you know, listen, if I were playing with Gary right now today as a linebacker, I would find a way to rally behind that and get my defense together and say, hey, let's go win this for Coach, because he deserves it.
Absolutely. And fans, don't send our coach death threats. What's going through your head?
Apparently too much alcohol.
Well, in all fairness, it hasn't been this year, so okay. Some crazy fans from past years. They've been contained this year. So
any year is once is too much.
I know. And everybody, go give your mom and dad a hug and spend as much time as you can with them. That's one thing Gary touched on a couple press conferences ago, is he really made a point to, you know, tell us how supportive his mom and dad were with his career. And, you know,
his mom was an amazing lady.
Yeah. So go give him a hug and let him know. Well,
that's one thing. We live our lives knowing that they're going to precede us in death, but we're never quite ready when it happens. And I wish I could hug mine again, but you know, that's just part of life. But Coach is right. Go out and hug your mom and dad.
Yeah.
Amen. And on that somber note, we've come to the end of the podcast. before Ryan opens up the faucets there, I'm going to go ahead and bring us out. I want to thank everybody who's out there listening to us. You can find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can also find Killer Frogs on all the social media platforms, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. You can also go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for a free account, and discuss TCU athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads. And also remember, go to frogswire.com for all of your TCU athletic news. With that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's time we all get to knuckle up and say...
Go Frogs!
Hey, and happy homecoming, guys.
Happy homecoming.
Happy homecoming.